Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you join in as we face the issues. We'll be looking at a very serious subject today. I'm going to read you a brief headline, and we'll get into the meat of the headline later in the broadcast. Exposed: inhumane, lethal COVID protocol in hospitals. One physician said that when you're put into the hospital today, especially COVID patients, you're treated little better than an animal, end quote. It's an eye-opening, shocking, sad discovery by the medical profession and what is taking place. It's Dateline, October the 25th, 2021. We're going to look at that later in this broadcast. We'll be talking about today, inhumane, unconstitutional, and deadly. Inhumane, unconstitutional, and deadly. And we're talking about the treatment that's given to patients, especially COVID patients, younger patients, and the elderly in our hospitals, and the protocol that's used in our hospitals today that's killing people. I've said that for some time now. In fact, for the past 2 years, I've talked about how the medical profession's killing the patients in the hospitals. I have article after article after article, research material after research material, validating what I'm saying. And it's becoming open and revealed by those in the medical profession that would be called today whistleblowers, that's tired of what they see in the hospitals and in the medical protocol following the CDC protocol that's dictated by Obama, coming out of the position of being the one that's the puppeteer, the puppet being Joe Biden, and the desire to institute eugenics in America. And it's a global thing, but we're going to be talking about what's happening in American hospitals today. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's called the B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. It is the truth book. In John 8, 31 and 32, Jesus said to his disciples, if you continue that stay constantly be in, dwell in my word, then, listen, it's only after we stay in the Word, when we stay in the Word, as we're constantly in the Word, Jesus said, then are ye my disciples indeed. The word indeed means truly, surely, absolutely. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's knowing the Word of God, staying in the Word of God, that will give us truth, that will set us free. Then Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am truth. And he makes a further declaratory statement in John 17, 17, when he says, thy word is truth, speaking of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It's the word of God. Jesus Christ is the Logos of God. Jesus Christ is God. God come into flesh. And ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand today the very seriousness of truth. It was the secularist George Orwell that made the statement in his book in 1984, the dystopian novel. Said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We find that to be so true today. There's a disdain for truth. There's a rejection and revulsion of truth today in the society in which we're living in. As the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint said, warns that Americans' decline is linked to the death of truth. In the article, he further says, the former senator states the very obvious. What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume that whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America, even in the Christian churches today. End quote. This is the reason I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, that made a very powerful statement. He said, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, tell the truth, love the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe as watchmen on the wall, that's what we have the responsibility to do as Christians, especially as pastors and spiritual leaders in our churches. We have the responsibility to tell the truth. We have the responsibility to warn danger ahead. We have the responsibility of standing on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God, which is the truth book. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment and a full line of Honda generators. Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the professional lawn care equipment and the homeowner's lawn care equipment. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old San Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. There's a benchmark there, 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory, U.S. flag flowing 24/7. Ladies and gentlemen, search out and find the U.S. flag at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time, toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, if there's ever been a time that I'm passionate and concerned and very, very, very anxious to get the word out and for you to hear and understand the serious condition that America's in when it comes to our health care situation and scenario and the professionals that call themselves doctors and nurses, what would you say if I were to tell you they're teaching physicians and nurses how to dispatch a patient in the hospital, especially if it is an elderly patient, especially if it is a patient with COVID-19. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. COVID-19 is a man-made Dr. Emperor St. Francis, St. Anthony Fauci that created the pathogen called COVID-19. Bought and paid for by U.S. tax dollars in the Wuhan Chinese Communist Party lab in Wuhan, China. Released, I believe, purposely on the world to show that China has a dominating control over society. And I believe that, ladies and gentlemen, we're watching it being used today as a eugenics program, being laughed at and gleefully cheered on by Bill and Melinda Gates, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and all of those that are eugenics wanting to reduce the population of the world. It was Bill Gates just a few months back that said in an interview with CNN, CNN news anchor asked the question, well, will this COVID-19 vaccination kill anybody? And he smiled with a sheepish smile on his face, said, well, if we lose a million people, what's that compared to the number of lives that we could save if we use this vaccination? Ladies and gentlemen, Gates has been involved in the murder, the sterilization, and the paralyzation of hundreds of thousands of people in Africa and in India, as a result of the same type program, supposedly for curing other ailments and diseases in those nations. The case against Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is still held up in the world court. But ladies and gentlemen, he is a eugenist. He came out of a family eugenist. He believes that we need to reduce the population by about 500 million people or better. And ladies and gentlemen, what we're talking about today is an evident token of what's taking place in our hospital. I've said to my wife and family, unless say 18-wheelers hit me and I need to be put back together, if it is just a matter of illness, sickness, or some disease, leave me at home. Don't put me in the hospital where there is assurance of death and dying because of the elderly and or because of the ones that are somehow not able to get about, that is those that are deformed or those that are in wheelchairs or those that are sick. There's a movement today in our nation to remove that element of society to cut down on the health cost. That's the bottom line, if I can rush to that point. But ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says very clearly that we are created in the image of God. Listen carefully. Genesis 2nd chapter says we're created in the image of God. And in his image we're created And according to Ephesians chapter 2:10, we're his workmanship, his thing of beauty, his poem. We're created unto, as his workmanship unto good works. We're God's created poem, God's created thing of beauty, if you will. In fact, the scripture says in Psalms 139 that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Ladies and gentlemen, every life is valuable in the sight of God. Not just blue lives, not just black lives, not just brown lives, but every life is valuable in the sight of God. Every life matters. And I'm not talking about those that want to push their political agenda about which life matters most. I've heard the debate. I've listened to the jargon. I understand the stupidity and the ignorance of those that are saying that. But I want us to understand that if you're alive and breathing today, every life matters before Holy God, because we're created in his image. We have a purpose and design in our lives that God has purposely created in us for a purpose that he has and a plan for your life and mine. But ladies and gentlemen, so just when did man decide that he is God? That's a question that needs to be asked and answered. When did physicians decide that they're gods? When did the medical profession, hospitals and nurses and doctors, make the determination that they can decide when to dispatch life? When did they make the decision, ladies and gentlemen, that they can turn off the machines and say, your life is over, and make the determination decision? When did they make the decision, ladies and gentlemen, that is so sad and somber when recently a lady went to the hospital and in the emergency room told the attending nurse, that regardless of what happens to me, don't put me on the ventilator. The nurse just turned in very pointedly and somberly said, we'll just have to let you die. When did nurses and doctors make the determination? When did they come to the conclusion that they're God, that they can determine when a person is to live or die? Since when is it in America that we live in such an inhumane, barbaric society that that has been the determination now of the medical profession? Where is the Hippocratic Oath that it's called do no harm? Where has that gone in the past few years since COVID-19 hit the scenes? But ladies and gentlemen, today's medical protocol, the established CDC and medical associations are now teaching doctors and hospitals who to let live and who to let die. Now, perhaps you didn't know that. Perhaps this comes as a shock to you. But ladies and gentlemen, since COVID-19, hospitals and professionals seem to have decided that patients and their families have no right or authority to be admitted in the hospital or to be seen or to see their loved ones in the hospital. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article, and perhaps you've heard me state it before because it happened about 2 weeks ago. A mother is escorted from the hospital in handcuffs. By the way, it's right here in Jacksonville. Escorted from the hospital in handcuffs for refusing to leave her recovering daughter's side in violation of COVID-19 rules. Ladies and gentlemen, let me pause for a moment before I go further. This is on October the 14th. It's been in the past couple of weeks right here in our city. Since when do doctors make the determination that because you have COVID, that somehow, some way, you've lost your human rights, you've lost your Bill of Rights, you've lost your patient rights in the hospital? Ladies and gentlemen, there's such a thing on a national level as the patient's Bill of Rights, and in every state, they have a separate patient's Bill of Rights. I suggest that you look at the patient's Bill of Rights for the nation. Look at the patient's Bill of Rights that is set forth online with the American frontline doctors. Look at the patient's Bill of Rights that's set forth online for the state of Florida. You understand the patient's Bill of Rights is laid out for a purpose to protect you and me when we enter into the hospital, where we lose control, if you please, of what we say or do. Because listen, ladies and gentlemen, when you sign those documents as you enter the hospital, you don't take time to read the fine print. You don't take time to read all that those documents say. They know you're not going to. But what you've literally done, you've surrendered your rights to make a decision and for your family to make choices and decisions. And because of COVID-19 now, the mindset is that we can shut you out, sequester your loved one, and treat them any way we want to. You say, perhaps, preacher, that's a little bit harsh and direct. It's meant to be. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm fed up with what I see taking place in the medical profession today. And I believe everyone under the sound of my voice needs to be also. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. We're talking about inhumane, unconstitutional, and deadly That's the treatment we're getting in hospitals today. That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Love to hear from you. Call in and let our screener know that you want to ask a question, to make a comment or a statement. We'd love to talk with you and have dialogue and discussion about it. Have you had these things to happen to you? What's taken place with your loved one if they've been placed in the hospital? Have you been allowed to see them? Why and why not? What did you do? What did you do about it? What can we do about it? That's what we're going to be talking about on this broadcast today. 831-0917 is the telephone number. That telephone call goes directly through to the studios right to our microphone so that we can entertain your question or comment. Getting back to this article, mother escorted from the hospital in handcuffs for refusing to leave her recovering daughter's side in violation of COVID-19 rules. An elderly mother in Jacksonville, Florida, spent a night in jail this week for violating a local hospital's COVID-19 rules. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to see, I've not seen it yet, I want to see in written form, and you may ask for it if you today, if you have a loved one in the hospital, ask the hospital, demand the hospital, give you a in written form the COVID rules and regulation for the hospital. Compare that with the patient's bill of rights for the state of Florida and see if the hospital is in violation of your patient's bill of rights. We're going to look at some of the verbiage in the Florida statute and the patient's bill of rights on this broadcast today. Listen to what this says. For violating the hospital's COVID-19 rules by refusing to leave the bedside of her daughter, who has just undergone brain surgery after suffering a stroke. Lynn Savage, 70 years old, was escorted from the hospital in handcuffs and booked into county jail for trespassing Tuesday night, but she has no regrets over her actions. Quote, this is what Lynn Savage says. I stand by my actions 100%. I'm not sorry that I made them take me out of there in handcuffs, the dedicated mother told the news outlet. She had been by her daughter's daughter Amber's side since 6:30 a.m. that day following surgery. The news outlets noted that Savage's daughter is currently, quote, nonverbal and partially paralyzed on the right side. After suffering a stroke, that Savage was present at the hospital for support to serve as an interpreter for her daughter. But when 7 p.m. rolled around, a nurse notified Savage that visiting hours had ended and she would have to leave per the COVID-19 health guidelines. Savage refused to do so. Quote, Lynn Savage says this, I could not in good conscience and good heart leave her bedside, not knowing how she was going to make it through the night voluntarily. She noted that the doctor had asked her to come in to the intensive care unit room to calm her daughters down during post-surgery. So as soon as I approached the bedside, she was fine, Savage recalled. With all these people talking and all these things going on, she doesn't understand it and not being able to talk. She just was frantic. And it goes on to talk about some of the events there. And the article end says, it was not an experience that I would have want to do again for the rest of my life, she recounted. It was horrible. It was filthy, talking about when she was put in jail. It was more than any insane asylum with women screaming and hollering and banging on bars and banging on the walls. I was just terrified, but I would rather be there than know that I had walked away from my daughter's bedside voluntarily. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a sad commentary on the healthcare system in America. That's right here in our city, right here in Jacksonville, Florida. Ladies and gentlemen, we're looking at a very inhumane, barbaric, unconstitutional thing settling on society in America. And because it's been taking place for about 2 years, the mindset is that it's the norm, that it is the way it should be. That's what the doctors call for. That's what the hospital said. And therefore, it's the end of the story. Ladies and gentlemen, that is simply not the case. And as I'll say again during the course of this broadcast, I believe it's time Christians and conservatives and patriots stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen. It's taking place all across America today with the objection to the COVID-19 jab in the state of New York, and especially New York City. They're now demonstrating by the thousands and perhaps hundreds of thousands, demanding that they be released and their freedom be given back, because they've determined in New York City and in the state of New York that if you don't take the COVID jab, then you cannot work. You do not have a job. Nurses, doctors, police officers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, are now being put out of a job as second-class citizens because they refuse to take the COVID vaccination. And it's not a vaccination. It's a chemical being placed into your body. You have no earthly idea what it's going to do, whether you live or die as a result of it. As one person made the statement, I'd rather keep my integrity than to have a job. It was a nurse that made that statement after walking off, refusing to take the vaccination. And the main problem is a refusal to give the medical attention that a patient needs, especially if it's a COVID patient. So since COVID-19, ladies and gentlemen, our hospitals and medical professionals appear to have decided that they, that is the patients, and the patients' families have no rights, no authority, and after admitted to the hospital, that you are helpless and hopeless to do anything about it. Ladies and gentlemen, that ought not to be the scenario, but it is today in America. Let me just give you a little itinerary, a little litany of those things that take place once you're checked into the hospital as a COVID patient. Number one, the hospital's cha-ching, the cash register rings. Right here in the city of Jacksonville, most of the hospitals, if you're registered as a COVID patient, from the funds out of the Biden administration, the hospital immediately receives between $48,000 and $55,000 per patient, plus between $18,000 and $22,000 for what's called the PPE. That is the protective garments that they're required to wear as nurses and doctors to go into a COVID patient's room. So immediately there's just under $100,000 that goes into the register. Every physician is bound in that hospital, they work for the hospital, to try to make that register ring and to bring the revenue up for the hospital. Patients are treated as numbers and not human beings once you're checked in as a COVID patient, ladies and gentlemen. Family members are shut out, cannot see the loved one, cannot touch the loved one, cannot talk with the loved one. Never mind the fact that in some cases, entire families have had COVID. So one family member that has had COVID and could not survive at home had to be put in the hospital. All those family members have already had COVID. All of them are now, if you've already had COVID, your immune system is about, according to the scientific virologist, your immune system is about 27%, listen, 27% greater than those with the COVID vaccination. So here's a family. One member goes to the hospital. You've already been introduced to COVID. You've already had COVID. Your immune system is stronger than those with the vaccination. And yet the medical profession says you can't go in. You can't touch your loved one. You can't talk with them. You cannot pray with them. You cannot have a time with them to encourage them. They're terrified in that condition already. Family members are shut out completely. Even the closest family members are not allowed to visit the loved ones in the hospital. And I've seen those, known of those that have been in a nursing home with COVID and were shut from the families. 91-year-old man that I'm familiar with died screaming every day, "Where's my wife? Where's my family? Why have they abandoned me?" Because he was already partially suffering dementia and was stricken with COVID. And as a result of that, died wondering why his family could not come in and see him, why his wife could not come in and touch him, why there could not be that communication with family members. Ladies and gentlemen, that's inhumane. That's unconstitutional. That's barbaric. COVID patients are treated as non-humans in today's medical profession. Non-humans. Oh, yes. When the hospital and the doctors that are playing God determine that you've got a few moments to live, a few hours to live, then they can say, "Come on in, family. Touch your loved one. Talk with your loved one. We're about to dispatch him, so come on in and have your last words with him or her." Ladies and gentlemen, that's inhumane. That's barbaric. That's unconscious. There's not a civilized point on the place of the globe that this was acceptable prior to COVID-19. But yet somehow, some way, we're made to believe that that is the norm today. I'm wanting you to understand it ought not to be the norm. It cannot be the norm. It should not be the norm. And it can be changed if enough citizens rise up in, if you please, one voice saying, "We've had enough. We've had enough. No more. We're not going to live by fear." God, in fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but we're supposed to live in fear. I'm thankful that our governor in the state of Florida said, we're not going to live in fear in the state of Florida. But I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, we'll give telephone numbers and email addresses late in this broadcast. So hang in there. Don't turn your dials for this total broadcast. I'm going to give you contact names, contact numbers that you can call, that you can email, and demand politely, but demand, insist that we stop this barbaric, inhumane treatment of our loved ones in our hospitals and nursing homes just because it's supposed to be COVID. It's never been done with any other pathogen, with any other disease. It's never happened in the history of America as we see it taking place today. COVID patients are treated as non-humans. Loved ones desire to see their loved ones. Directions are given, and they're totally rejected, simply rejected out of the out of hand, without any basis whatsoever of doing so medically speaking. The COVID patients' family members are pleading to allow their patients, their loved ones, to be given hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin or any of the other monoclonal drugs that can help them survive. Ladies and gentlemen, the patient's Bill of Rights are totally ignored today. Totally ignored. Here's an article that says HHS is reviewing all doctor's orders for monoclonal antibodies. Representative Chip Roy wants to know why. A Republican lawmaker demanding to know why the Biden administration appears to be limiting the ability of doctors. Listen, it's coming right out of the top, right out of the Oval Office, right out of the cognitively depleted mind of Joe Biden. He's not making the decision, but he's the puppet that's voicing those decisions. It is the fact that the scabs left over from the Obama administration's running the Biden administration. Biden is not in charge himself. He's the face. He's the front. He's the voice that's voicing it. Republican lawmaker demanding to know why the Biden administration appears to be limiting the ability of doctors to order early treatment medications for COVID-19 patients. Representative Chip Roy, a Republican of Texas, on Monday sent a letter to the Department of Health and Human Services inquiring about recent changes in HHS policy that limits orders of shipments of monoclonal antibody treatments to HHS-approved administration sites. Providers across the country, including providers in Texas, have utilized these treatments, aiding in effective treatment of COVID-19 patients. Unfortunately, numerous doctors and healthcare professionals who serve COVID-19 patients are reportedly being totally denied and or limited the orders for these treatments by HHS. Ladies and gentlemen, the decision is made behind boardroom walnut tables, behind the walls, not made by the doctors, not made by the physicians, not made by the medical oath of do no harm. But the decision is made, I believe, based on eugenics, of wiping out the elderly, wiping out the cost of medical care, wiping out and lowering the cost in America with the medical cost from the federal government. Here's an article that says, Fox came at my throat, talking about Fox News. TV reporter told to stop reporting on hydroxychloroquine. A reporter for a local Fox affiliate has confirmed she was threatened for posting online reports about hydroxychloroquine, a drug that studies have shown to help in the fight against COVID-19. Then she was suspended for releasing those details. Fox came at my throat for standing up against censorship, confirmed Ivory Hecker, a reporter for Fox 26 in Houston, Texas. Her charges came in a report from Project Veritas, as well as the video posted online by the organization. The report said that Hecker was suspended for announcing live on air that she is in contact with Project Veritas for what she called corruption at the Houston affiliate hospital. She said station's actions are an affront to real journalism and claim leadership priorities, corporate interests are over the viewer. The report said Hecker obtained recordings of her superiors telling her to prioritize options at the station from the station's general manager and the company's CEO above the audience. What's happening within Fox Corporation is an operation of prioritizing corporate interest above the viewer's interest and therefore operating a deception of news. Ladies and gentlemen, we're finding this is basically permeating society today. It's destroying the integrity of the medical profession because today doctors and nurses are out of control. They're following the protocol and the demand by CDC and the healthcare industry. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We're going to have the top of the hour 1 minute news. We'll be right back right after the news as we continue to face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.